All right, just a quick announcement. If you want the most practical strategies, tools, and tips on team culture, follow at TOC Culture on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. We've recently restarted our Culture Builder podcast series as a video cast where nearly every day we're sharing 1 to 2 minute short clips that are for coaches, athletes, and even sports parents. So be sure to follow us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at TOC Culture, so you don't miss out on those culture builders, the practical strategies, tools, and tips you need to build a great team culture. So one of the most popular and effective ways for people to grow their leadership is to hire a coach. In fact, companies like Google hire coaches for all their leaders who want it, and many companies are actually now requiring leadership coaching for all their high-level leaders. I'm biased and passionate, obviously, about the value of a coach, not just because of my own experience through hiring a coach back in 2016 and the growth I experienced then, but it's in the very core of what I do at TOC, coaching coaches. Now, from my own personal experience, I can say in this work of coaching leaders, you get a unique leadership experience. You learn through the experience of the leaders you are coaching. You also start to learn new frameworks and models that help to assist leaders in their growth. And that's why I've invited one of the best leadership coaches that I know, someone who has helped me improve my coaching of leaders, Brian Levinson. Brian Levinson is the founder of Strong Skills, which provides executive coaching and mental performance coaching, speaking and consulting to elite organizations, performers, and leaders. He's been fortunate to work with CEOs, professional athletes, and with teams in the NBA, NHL, and MLS, as well as some Division I athletic departments, the Federal Reserve, the Department of Homeland Security, Hilton, and many other organizations. He also has a weekly podcast, Intentional Performers, where he has interviewed over 340 elite high performers. Somehow, I guess he includes me in that, since I was once a guest on his podcast. His book, Shift Your Mind, was released in 2020, and it is an incredible, incredible book on the mental skills. He currently lives in Maryland with his wife and two kids, and he's a friend. He's become a friend and mentor that I met through another friend of the podcast, Cody Royal. And as we discuss on today's episode, Brian was the person who encouraged me to get my executive coaching certification through Georgetown University. So I know you're going to love this conversation today with Brian. Welcome to the Coaching Culture Podcast, the podcast to help you grow as a leader and build a better culture. In addition to this podcast, I'm the founder of TOC, which supports leaders and their teams to build extraordinary cultures through one-on-one coaching, consulting, online training, and speaking. To learn more, I recommend starting with these three steps. Read The Culture System, subscribe to the TOC newsletter, and get trained through our Transformational Coaching and Culture Certification Program. And you can do all those things and learn more about TOC at tocculture.com. To learn more about Betsy Butterick and her work as a leadership coach, be sure to go to BetsyButterick.com. All right, Brian, it is great to have you on the Coaching Culture Podcast, man. This has been a long time coming. It took me a little while to get to your book, Shift Your Mind, but man, once I got into it, I've shared it with so many leaders and shared some of the content with even some of the teams that I've gotten the privilege of working with. And it's been really, really one of the more applicable skills, mental performance books that I've read. And so I'm looking forward to unpacking some of that with you today. But the first place I want to start with you today, Brian, is just a little bit of your transition and your work. You started out for years, you were working with athletes and the mental skills, and now you've been working in leadership coaching. What led you to make that shift from working with athletes to working with leaders?
So I got my master's in sports psychology. And at the time, I always told people I wouldn't have gotten into psychology if there wasn't the sport component. Always loved sports, like a lot of people. And I worked with athletes and sports teams. And pretty early on, I was getting exposure and opportunities to some of the best athletes in the world. And it was amazing. I loved it. I mean, one day I'd be working with a 12-year-old golfer and, you know, 1 hour with a 12-year-old golfer and the next hour with an NBA player and then the next hour with an amateur golfer and the next hour with an NFL player. And so it was pretty wide ranging and fun. And then I worked with a bunch of sports teams, everything from high school teams to pro teams. it wasn't necessarily a linear path where I said, I want to do this and I want to do that. I was loving working with athletes and sports teams, but I'm based in the Washington, D.C. area. And I kept getting connected with these people that were working as executive coaches. And they would talk about their work and it seemed really interesting. From a lifestyle standpoint, it seemed like a better lifestyle. Financially, they were making more money. And as I started to get a little bit older, you know, athletes, the age range that I worked with was like 10 to 35. And then every once in a while, there would be like a 50-year-old weekend warrior athlete who I'd work with, who also was maybe in business. Or I worked with a strength and conditioning coach at a Division I university who also owned a gym, or a rugby coach who also worked as a sales manager. So I started working with these people outside of sports. And I started to get phone calls from people who were connected to sports in some way, or maybe they played Division I sport, and they say, hey, I kind of think of myself as an athlete or as a coach. Will you work with me? So I just started doing it. That experience opened my eyes to the idea that I don't really care the industry that someone's in. I care about how curious they are, how open-minded they are, how ambitious they are, how driven they are, how organized they are. And those things led to a much wider net beyond athletes. I also started working with sports coaches and athletic directors, so leaders, and those people started to bring up concepts and constructs that were really intriguing to me around culture and communication and teamwork. So I went back to school, as you know, I went back to Georgetown and studied executive coaching there. And when I got finished with that program, I had a decision to make as far as what did I intentionally want to do with executive coaching and working with leaders. And so I started a program, and that program grew and grew and grew to a point where it didn't really make sense for me to carve out space for athletes. So there was definitely a time where I was working with all of them, but now I'm at a point where I will work with people in sports, but not athletes. So it can be a head coach or a front office executive or an athletic director, or even agents. But the athletes itself is less of a focal point.
Yeah, and I mean, we obviously have some similar parts to our story and journey. I mean, I was working with athletes as a coach and coaching basketball for years. And then I moved into the leadership executive coaching space. And then off your recommendation, went to Georgetown and got my certification there, which was hugely beneficial. One thing that I think is kind of cool about your story and a little bit of my story as well, too, is I was recently listening to Dr. Michael Gervais talk on the Rich Roll podcast. And Gervais is actually coming on this podcast, Coaching Culture Podcast, after you. He'll be our next guest after this interview. But I remember him talking about how initially, like, psychology, you know, when he was working in sports psychology, he came in with the athlete that was really struggling, right? So, you know, an organization would say, hey, we got this, you know, athlete, he really, really struggles, you know, with buying into the culture or behaviors or the mental part. Can you work with him? And then they started bringing him in to work with the high performance athletes. And then they started bringing him actually just to work with the coaches to then actually give them the skills to work with the athletes more effectively. And in some ways, that's a little bit of what you're doing now at this point too, right?
It's interesting you bring up Mike, because he's the reason I have a podcast. His podcast, Finding Mastery, was the first podcast I started listening to, and I just loved it. So pretty cool that he's following me on this. And he's been really helpful. I actually interviewed him in person out in California. And I remember after the podcast, we sat around and talked for like another hour and a half. And I'll never forget, he said to me, as soon as we finished our recording, he looked at me and he said, man, you ask great questions. And it's interesting how we remember compliments from people that we have a lot of respect for and how they stick with us. So I just wanted to acknowledge that you brought him up, and he's someone who has had a big influence from a mentorship standpoint, even from afar, and impacted me in a lot of ways. As you're reflecting on him and his journey, once again, like, I didn't think about it that way, but if I look, I worked with a professional soccer team, and I'm reflecting on why they brought me in, and they brought me in to work with one of their star players who they were having some challenges with. And I was able to connect with that person and help that person. And then they said, all right, we're going to give you some of our athletes. And I'll never forget, I worked with one of their starters, and we worked together. The next game, they had like 2 goals. And all of a sudden, everyone's knocking on my door to work with me. And from there, the head coach, the general manager, I really developed a great relationship with the assistant coaches, and I would often be in rooms with them challenging them. And I'm grateful for those experiences, because today in my work with leaders, I often will work with their sales manager. If I'm working with the CEO, I might work with their CFO or their COO or their sales manager. And people often ask me if it's a conflict of interest. And I say, look, I had to manage professional sports where I was working with the general manager, the head coach, the leaders of the team, and find ways to make sure that I was holding confidence for all of them while still trying to help the team get to where the team wanted to go. So, you know, Mike sharing that, I would say there were some similarities for that professional sports team. There were other times where from the get-go, I was able to set the table, so to speak, with the team and say, I don't want to work with your problem or troublemakers or people that are struggling. Like, I always love this phrase, you don't wait till it rains to build a roof, or you don't have to be sick to get better. And so I really tried as much as I could to work with the best high performing athletes, because I just think culturally it sets a way different precedent than if you're working with the ones who are struggling from a mental standpoint. And I think psychology in general has been shifting to more of that sort of, I don't even call it preventative. It's more of a progressive approach where, hey, if you want to be great, this is a part of your toolbox. And it's the same thing with the leaders I coach. The leaders I coach are amazing high performers. I mean, they're doing incredible stuff. They're not coming to me because they're broken. And the athletes I worked with, if they had the yips or they had something like really that was getting in the way for them, I would refer out. Like, that was never my bag. So, you know, the professional sports team that I'm referencing, I was like, okay, they're having some issues. I think I can play in that space. But the guy was like one of their top goal scorers and he was performing well. Some of his challenges were with consistency and some other stuff. So I hope I answered the question. I know I started with Gervais and then got into the process with which I operate, but they're pretty linked.
Yeah. And I think this is really important though. What you mentioned there is just that you work with high performers and people that aren't necessarily broken. And as leaders and starting from scratch, you know, I've enjoyed working with maybe some leaders that have hit a bit of rock bottom and to really build from there. But there's also this area that leaders that are really high performers need coaching. They need that support that you provide, that I work to provide. There's a need for it, and people are reaching out, you know, for this type of support. What is so important to you about this work of coaching leaders?
Well, I know you know this, but like, I work with a coach and I don't think I'm broken. I think this work is so important because each of us need to figure out what success means for us. And then I really believe in striving to not settle and to be the best we can be. And it sounds corny as I say it, but what's more important than that in life is to, hey, be the best version of you and let you be the one that defines success. And so I have found working with a coach to help me get clarity around how I define success. And am I actually taking the action and the behaviors that align with my vision for success?
And when you think about your work with these leaders, wherever they be, CEOs, you know, athletic directors, head coaches, what are some of the things that you enjoy working with them on the most?
I love working with them on dreams. I love thinking about like, all right, where do you want to be? What does success look like for you? But I also love grounding them in their values or their mission or their philosophy. So I have something that I call their personal framework or your personal framework, which is basically the idea that we have values, which are who we are. We have a mission, which is why we do what we do. We have a philosophy, which is how we operate. And we have a vision, which is what we will do. And so almost everyone that I work with, we take them through a process of identifying their values, their mission, their philosophy, their vision, so they understand who they are, why they do what they do, how they operate, and what they will do. I know you had Brad Stolberg on the podcast recently. I think his work is awesome around our identity and our values, and I'm a big fan of his. So I study a lot of that type of work and bring that into my work with leaders.
Yeah, and I call it, you call it the personal framework. I call it the leadership manifesto, right? But doing that type of work is so important to laying the foundation. And what I've learned over the last kind of 6-7 years working with coaches is that when I don't do that work, we don't start from that place, everything else can get really, really messy very quickly if we haven't really figured out who we are, what's important, that mission, vision, the values.
Yeah, and I think you're going to have Mike on the podcast, Gervais, and he talks a lot about your personal philosophy and his work with Pete Carroll. And then Pete Carroll, of course, influenced Steve Kerr to map out his values. And so I think coaches in sports can see the immediate reaction or the culture every single day. And so in sports, I love sports because you can see it, you can feel it. In business, it's not always that clean and clear, and it can be more ambiguous. And so for business leaders, I think it's really essential to be intentional about the culture they're setting, because so often they're not intentional about the culture they're setting, and the culture is setting the business without their intention. And every organization has a culture. And so for them to be clear on who they are, why they do what they do, how they do it, and what they will do, then it doesn't even have to be exactly mapped to the business, but there probably needs to be components of their values, their mission, their philosophy and vision in the business. And then the business will take its life, a life of its own.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, kind of, I think coaches sometimes feel like they operate in a business too, because it can be so transactional. And, but even there in the business world, like you just said, it's so, so important. I think one of the things I'm afraid of in the past of doing those types of activities or working on those types of things is, and I know a lot of other leaders and coaches are, which is that it A, feels cliche, or B, just becomes some activity that you do, and then it kind of quickly just falls apart. And maybe those are connected. You know, what do you, in your work with leaders, what keeps it from becoming cliche? What keeps it from, you know, being this activity they do, and then all of a sudden 2 months later, they completely forgotten what their values are, vision are, having really no impact?
So two parts. One, cliches are cliches for a reason, because they usually resonate with people. And so I'm not anti-cliche, but I would say if you go inside the cliche, if it's not authentic, if it's not true, if it's not honest and genuine to who the person is, then it's a joke. And so I try to really go into each individual and help them figure out who they are and understand also their dark sides and understand the negative sides to themselves as well. And once again, I'm no different on that. So that's how I feel about the cliche part. Look, I think a lot of this stuff does go on a piece of paper, and it may be posted or it may be private. And I think it really becomes imperative when we're making decisions. And so I think it's really helpful as a North Star and as a guideline or a guidepost for decision making. And I don't think it's something you have to have memorized and you have to bring out all the time. But when there are decisions that are going to impact and influence the future of an organization, that's where having your values and your mission and your philosophy and your vision can guide you. And so it's interesting. I think of it more as something that's a guide than something that's the bus driver. Like, I think the bus driver is often, you know, what can we do to earn money in business? The bus driver is what can we do to win games? Like, those are sort of constants for every organization that's playing in business or playing in sport, but the guidelines are different and the philosophy is different. And that philosophy drives decision-making. I'll give you a really tangible example. I worked with three different NBA teams. The way those three teams approached the NBA draft was completely different. All three of those teams wanted to win a championship. I'm telling you, I've never worked with a sports team that doesn't want to win a championship. Forget professional, high school. I mean, I work with under 9 soccer players and I want to win a championship. We didn't. But that's, look, so like, and then same with business. I've never worked with a business that doesn't want to make money. It is, if they don't make money, they won't have a business. If you don't win games, you won't have your job. Like, those are the similarities. But the differences, the diversity in organizations and culture is bound to their values, their mission, their philosophy, and their vision. And that there is so much diversity in. And these three NBA teams, I'm telling you, the way that they looked at talent and the way they evaluated talent was so different. And the best of the three knew exactly the groceries they were shopping for. They knew exactly what they were looking for. And they would not budge on finding people that aligned with what they were looking for. The worst of the organizations just tried to bring in the best players. They just cared about the talent. And I am someone who values talent. Like, I am someone who was not that talented of a basketball player, and there were consequences to not being that talented. It matters. It's baseline. Outside of the talent, if you don't know what you're looking for, then you're going to put a hodgepodge group of guys who can do the thing together, but they're not necessarily making each other better. And so that's where having, this is what we value. This is who we are. This is why we do what we do. This is how we do it. And this is what we're actually trying to create. Those elements to me are universal between business and sport.
Yeah. And it's so powerful once those are in place, these values, because especially when I'm working with coaches, working with leaders, and they do hit, you know, adversity, they do hit struggles. They start to, the team struggling, they start to lose themselves. You can come back to these types of things. Right. And, you know, as a coach, you can help bring them back to those guideposts that they've laid down. And it's just cool example you shared there just with that with the NBA teams.
Hey, JP, one more thing. Mm-hmm. I've seen really successful people who are empty and they're hollow because there isn't meaning behind the success. Like, I have worked with teams that have won championships, and after the season, the coaches are like, thank God this season is over. Mm-hmm. I've seen it because they didn't have alignment with the people. So they were able to get the thing, but was it real success? Right. And they would tell you, yes. And we want to adjust our sales because we can't do this again, or it's not sustainable. And we're not able to keep going. So we need to make some changes and we need to alter. So I think it allows us once again to have some guidelines, some guideposts to have a sense of what we're trying to do and what success actually looks like beyond the winning and making money, which our society will already establish for us, and the industries will already establish for us.
Yeah, and I actually think what you just shared there is really important, because I think a lot of leaders are getting the advice, a lot of coaches are getting the advice to be authentic. Right. And I remember even hearing Brad Stevens say this, you know, years ago, his one advice for coaches was to be yourself. But I think what you're talking about there is really to know yourself, at least know who you are today and then who you want to be in the future. And so we can't be authentic if we don't take time to know who we are today and who we want to be moving forward. And in the people that don't do this work, they use authenticity more. It's like, I'm just operating from their personality, their style, I think. I don't know if that lands for you.
So I think authenticity is flexible. It's not rigid. Like, we expand, and the best leaders have range. So they know how to do X, and they know how to do Y, and they know how to do Z. They don't just do things one way. And I love that you brought up Brad Stevens. I was very fortunate to get connected with Brad when he was coming off of his second finals appearance at Butler. And we had a phone call, and I had all my questions ready. He had his pyramid for success that he had created, and I was so excited to talk to him. And we had a phone call from the practice facility to his house. It was like a 20-minute call. I might have asked the first question, and then I didn't get to ask another question the entire call. He just peppered me with questions. And so Brad authentically is humble, is curious. Like, those are qualities that he just has, and that is who he is. But another person that's a head coach, I don't even know if that's true. There's probably some similarities. Like, I also got to spend time with Coach Cal, and Coach Cal is someone that maybe someone wouldn't say is humble. And I'm telling you, I sat in a room with him and Del Harris when he was coaching the Dominican national team in Kentucky. By the way, he was coaching 16-year-old Carl Anthony Towns. Coach Cal says he's brilliant. But he's coaching the Dominican national team. And I sat in a room with him and Del Harris, who coached the Lakers and coached in basketball forever. And Coach Cal looks at me and says, they're struggling with a player. And he's like, Brian, what would you do? How would you approach this person. And I'm like fresh out of grad school and I'm there to like shadow him and spend time with him. And here he is, this legendary Hall of Fame basketball coach, asking me questions. So authenticity, Coach Cal and Brad Stevens are very different. They're very different with the media. They're very different how they show up. They're very different how they coach. But there are through lines that have helped both of them be successful. And I would argue curiosity was a through line for both of them in what they do. And there's probably a reason why Coach Cal has stayed at Kentucky and Brad Stevens decided to become a front office executive. They probably value different things, which is, we all do. Like we all value different things. So I give those examples because they're tangible and we can see them and we understand these people. But authenticity for each of them, they're flexible. And I think we only see one side of someone and we don't always see this other side. Like, I don't think people always get the Coach Cal curiosity side, which is probably why he's such an amazing recruit. Any salesperson is amazingly curious. And Brad Stevens did it in a very different way. I'm sure when he recruited Gordon Hayward or Matt, Sheldon Mack, like all those guys at Butler, which he had really talented players, by the way. So I'm going on a rant, but I think authenticity, we just think of it's just one way. But if you look at people that are highly authentic, they actually are way more fluid. They have this agility and this ability to still be who they are, but in the right environment, when the environment calls for them to be a certain way, they're able to step into that space, which is part of what I wrote my book about, is that we have these different sides to us that we need to step into depending on the environment and what the environment calls for.
Yeah, it's stepping into. And I'd also say, I think it's a great example, Coach Cal and Coach Brad Stevens, vastly different personalities, vastly different styles. And yet they may share a value of curiosity. But that even curiosity is expressed in different ways through their personality and their style of coaching, right? But it also molds and like, and it shapes to the environment. My question here I've got for you now is, now you, let's say a coach lands on mission, vision, values, right? They know this. How does that change as you move into context? And give us this example, right? I'm sure you have that for yourself, your life, but now you're coaching one of your child's teams. So what is your, you know, how do you take, you know, all of what you know about yourself to be important to you and your philosophy, and how do you shape that towards, you know, a sports team?
I think we make the mistake of saying that we are the same person at work as we are at home. Like my personal values are very different than my professional values. So personally, I really care about justice. Like I really want the world to be a good place, an equitable place, a just place, fairness. I don't work for a nonprofit. Like I'm not doing that work every single day, like many brilliant people are. I live in a different space. And as a coach, I'm less focused on justice and more focused on that curiosity piece that we were talking about earlier. With my kids, yes, I bring that into coaching their soccer teams or into the dinner table, but I try to also shelf it at times. Because they're not looking for a coach. They're looking for a dad. Same with my wife. She's not looking for Brian, the coach. She wants a husband. And when she met me, I didn't coach anybody. I was in sales. So it's not even a fair deal for her. And trust me, she gets plenty of Coach Brian too. Probably too much. So that leads to the soccer team. And it's hard for me. I know a lot about sports psychology. I spent a lot of time working with youth athletes, and I probably know too much at times because the reality is they're in an ecosystem that I don't get to control and I don't get to dictate. And youth sports is a challenging, tricky environment that I don't claim to have all the answers for. And so, look, there are principles and things I care about. I want them to have fun. I want them to grow. I want them to learn. I want them to make great friends. I want them to be great teammates. Those are things I care about, but that's caring about it as a dad as much as it is a coach. But it's hard. I think it's really hard for us to leave part of ourselves, whether that's some of our personal self into the professional world or leaving some of our professional self in the personal world. But for me, at least it's healthy and it's helpful at times. I don't need to carry these different versions of myself all the time. And I find it liberating to just be a dad at times.
Okay. So we're going to take a break in our conversation with Brian there. Some of my biggest takeaways is just, you know, re-emphasizing the importance of having our own leadership framework, or as I call it, a leadership manifesto in the book, The Culture System. Now, if you've listened to the podcast in the last 3 to 4 months, you know we've talked a lot about the importance of core values. Well, here we go. Yet another person who just emphasized the importance of allowing our values to guide us as a leader. So we can't just know them, but we have to use our core values to guide us as a leader. And I love how he especially pointed that out in the end, how those values help us to bring different versions of ourselves into different spaces as leaders. Be sure to follow Brian at his website, strongskills.co. Also, he is Brian Levinson on X. And he has a fantastic podcast, The Intentional Performers. And you can pick up his book, Shift Your Mind, on Amazon. So some really, really practical tools. It's a great read for athletes, not just coaches. Brian will be back next week to talk about the keys to high performance leadership. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Be sure to follow us at TOC Culture on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And also head on over to Amazon Audible and Apple Books, where you can pick up copies of The Culture System and The Sports Parent Solution. And you've got our website, tocculture.com, for more articles and resources.